Yeah, we're going to start Bible study now. We're online. So, praise the Lord. All right, Matthew chapter 15. We just got to keep them tight. That's all we got to do. Keep them tight. Amen. Matthew chapter 15 is where we are, guys. And we're going to pick up, since of where we left off last week, and shouldn't be, I'm going to say in the front end, it shouldn't be too long today at all. I just want to kind of cover some what we'd call some popcorn points, if you will. But if you remember last week, we spoke about this lady. She was in a moment of desperation, this Syrophoenician woman, to what Mark would refer to her as, a Canaanite woman here in the book of Matthew. So let's look in verses 21, and we'll start in verse 21. Make sure I'm in the right area here. Matthew 21, and Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto him, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus departed thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. Father in heaven, we pray that you bless the continuation of this study here. We pray that you continue to watch over us, give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Forgive us where we have failed you. Lord, I do pray that you give us a wonderful Bible study this morning. Help us apply these attributes into our lives that we may better and best serve you. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And again, as always, we want to give you honor, glory, and praise. We do pray today. We're traveling mercies on the road. We lift up each and every one of our family members, loved ones, and friends today. We ask you, Father, that if any way it's special today, if you could, make a difference in someone's lives within the sphere of influence that you have placed us in. Lord, use us as you will as we surrender unto your guidance and your direction in our days. Lord, we love you. We ask all these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. So there's a few things that we see about this lady. The first thing we saw last week, that she was in a moment of desperation. And I personally believe that each and every one of us, that if our son or our daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, that we would be in the same boat. That there's none of us in here, I don't think this morning, that if one of our children was in such a dire need of saving, that we would be at a moment of desperation. Again, I emphasize the fact that when you read the context of the scripture, we begin to look here that when she was going to the disciples, verse 23, and he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. So apparently she went to the disciples and then to Christ, or she went to Christ and then the disciples. So she was back and forth. She wasn't going to eat. She wasn't going to end. She wasn't going to stop. She was in a moment of desperation. She knew in all of her heart that if this child was going to be delivered to this devil, she knew that it was going to be the Messiah. Jesus Christ was the only one that can do it. And what's interesting about that, she is a Canaanite woman. She does come from what would be considered an unclean past. Not just her, and not just because of the reputation and the history of the country from which she's from, given over to paganism, given over to idolatry. But even her seed, even the remnants of where she would come from, came from a cursed seed, if you will. It doesn't mean it can be saved, but it means that their heritage was marked by idolatry. It was marked by perversion and wickedness and all this and that. And yet she didn't go to the high priest of Israel. She didn't go to the religious crowd. She didn't go to her own people. Who did she go to? She went to the one that she knew she could get help from. And guys, I believe we ought to think about that in our lives today and in our world today. There's a group, there's a whole world of people out there today that are looking, if you will, at not only us, but looking at what the world has to offer. And when they look at us and they see a difference in a Christian's life and a difference in a Bible believer's life, a difference in someone who served the Lord in real time rather than just something on the veneer, something on the surface, they're going to notice that. They're going to say, I want something that they have. They can help me. There's a reason why people are coming to you looking for guidance and looking for direction, because if they see your wife, and they see your lifestyle and how steady it is and how firm you are in your belief. This is why Paul said that we're not to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We should be waving around. We shouldn't be unstable. You can't put your faith and dependence and trust in someone if they're here today, gone tomorrow, here, there, and they're just all over the place. You can't trust that kind of person. Even if good people, all right, good people, not sinful people, but just wavering, tossed to and fro with their beliefs and their stance, and they're bouncing back and forth, and you don't know where they're going to be. You got to be able to lock into someone and lock into those sails and let them carry you forward. This is what this lady saw. She got into a moment of desperation. She wasn't going to those people that changed their opinion and changed their ideas like they changed their clothes. She went to the one that was standing on the truth and was solid. So she had a moment of desperation we talked about last week. She had she was determined. Again, that word determined means settled. It was settled in her heart that Jesus was the only answer to heal her daughter. Guys, I'm going to say this to you here today. I understand I'm probably preaching to the choir. But the reality is, you got to be settled in your salvation. You got to be settled in your doctrine. Okay? Now, guys, we live in a society today that is more pluralistic than probably any other society that we've lived in. And this guy here has this opinion of the scriptures, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one, and that's all fine. Everybody can have their opinion, but people's opinion doesn't change the truth. Amen? You be careful who you mix hands with and who you're mixing around and some ideas. You have to be settled that the only way is the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be settled that the only way is this AV 1611, this perfected, purified Word of God. You've got to be settled in the doctrine that the Bible is there for our sole authority for faith and practice. Not our final authority, our sole authority. You say, do I have issues with final authority? Yeah. When I say that the Scriptures are my final authority, that means that I've tried something beforehand, by indication at the very least. It's my sole authority. You know, so if I'm going to measure whether or not I'm going to do something, I'm going to go through this measurement. I'm not going to go through a man's measure. I'm going to go through the Holy Scripture. Amen? And can two walk together, lest we agree, God said unto Amos. So you've got to be determined, settled that Jesus is the only answer. And then thirdly, we looked at last week as there was dedication on her part. Guys, she was committed to the cause. She was committed to see it through the end. And that's that little point right there is going to take us into our first point today that I wanted to look at in a handful of these verses here in the scriptures. And I'm going to try to get a book to hold these notes up there if I can today. Is that point number one, we want to see that her faith did not falter. Her faith did not falter. And I wonder sometimes in our life, does our faith falter? She came to Christ and she sought the answer and she was rejected. She came to the disciples, she sought an answer and she was told to go away. Look there in verses 22 through 24. The Bible says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Now she's confessing him as Lord. Now, thou son of David, she's confessing his heritage. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. He answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Look down in verse 26. In verse 26 she says, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, cast it to dogs. And she said, true, Lord, yet dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I want you to put yourself in her situation, if you will. I want you to put yourself where she is. She was rejected. She was told to go away. She was told to leave. She was told to get away from us. As a matter of fact, in my heart, in my mind, and again, I'm not trying to read into the white parts of the Bible, but in my heart, in my mind, I can see her going to Christ. He ignored her. I can see her running over there to the disciples, and they're just frustrated. And I can actually see her standing right there, and the disciples come to Christ and say, hey, man, listen, would you please send her away? She's annoying the living daylights out of us. Get her out. And I think she was right there. I think she was privy to everything that was said about her and, of course, obviously to her. But guys, what we find here is that she kept the faith. Her faith did not falter, even in the midst of rejection, even in the midst of being ignored. Think about this for just a second. In the times and the days and the hours and the minutes of silence, she didn't stop. She didn't quit. And guys, in the ministry, in our life, in the serving the Lord, there are going to be many moments of silence. There's going to be many moments of stillness. There's going to be many moments of stillness to where we don't see one licking thing happening. We've got to trust that something on the other side is going on. And we've got to keep that faith. Her faith did not falter. But it was when she confessed her ownership of Jesus Christ is where a difference was made. And this is what's going to seal your faith, guys, to keep it solid in your life. Recognizing whose you are. Who are you owned by? Who owns you? You know, we live in a world today, Laodicean church age is when we are. Laodicea means rights of the people. Everybody seems to have their own rights today. And, Paul says he was a servant. Serves the same word for slave. The slave has no rights but that which their owner gives. You know, we've been set free, but we've been given ownership of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're owned by Him. You see, it wasn't until she recognized that ownership. Notice there, if you will, verse 27. I emphasized a little bit last week, and she said, "True Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." How many of us have heard this sermon or a sermon like this preached, and maybe we've seen the title of the sermon, and it says, "Crumbs from the master's table." And that's what it is. But that's not what the Scripture says. From their master's table. And that's important this morning that we may understand. Her faith did not falter. She did not fail because her belief was focused on who owned her. She recognizes the Lord as her master. I mean, her faith stayed there. First time, second time, third time. She was ignored here. I mean, I don't know what the disciples may or may not have said to her, but I'm still pretty convinced in my heart of hearts that she heard everything they said unto the Lord. Get her out of here, man. I mean, how would you feel? How would you feel today if you went to seek help from someone and they went into the office and told the boss, "And listen, this clown's out here right now. They're antagonizing the daylights out of us. Would you please send this person away? Get them out of here. Call security." I mean, how would that make you feel? And we already live in an age today that's so insecure that it's not funny. It's amazing how we have a society of people today that in reality they're so insecure that they have to blow other people's candles out to make theirs brighter. But they have this veneer of a self-image that they're more than they really are. Self-esteem, you would say. Guys, she was determined to get the answer that she needed from the Lord. She was determined, and her faith did not falter. And even when she was called a dog, she was referred to as a dog, she never gave up. She pressed on until her faith brought an answer to her life. So we find that her faith did not falter. So the next step that we have, the next phase that we have is that by faith, she fell at her master's feet. Look at verse 25. She does this by faith. Now, please, again, I'm not trying to belabor this point, but I want you to understand the pattern of events that have occurred here. She went to the Messiah. He rejected her. She may or may not have went to the disciples prior to this, but she went to the Messiah. He rejected her. She went to the disciples. They just did whatever and said, "Hey, you know," told the Lord, "get her out of here." And then she comes back to the Lord after being said, "Listen, I'm sent unto the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. You're not even part of our bloodline. You don't count. You're unworthy." Verse 24 and verse 25. She came. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now, think about that. The Bible says that she worshipped. Now, despite those telling her not to, despite those telling her to go away, despite those saying that, "Listen, I'm not even here for you at all. Jesus Christ and the disciples are in a land known for utter darkness," is where they are. And even, we find, even the prettiest jewel can be found, guys, in the darkest place. The law of first mention, we understand, dictates that worship is always, 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 always true worship associated with sacrifice. Now, when people say today, if you throw out there, "Well, we were in the middle of worship, or we need to have some time of worship," here's what's happened in our world today, is people have misunderstood worship for praise. Alright? For praise. Let me go ahead and tell you this. This right here, this ain't worship. This is saying, "Hey, look at me. I'm waving my hands and I'm excited. That's what this is. Again, I have no problem with lifting our hands up on high. I have no problem. I don't even have a problem if you're moving according to the music. I know some people do. I have no problem with that. But I am going to tell you this. It's not worship. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Again, we already established the fact that the Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice. So if we're going to look at true worship today, we're going to find the characteristic of this woman here, this woman of Canaan, who was already rejected, already told that I'm not here for you. I'm here for the lost tribe of lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. She's already been overheard the disciples say unto the Lord, say, look, man, get her out of here. And what does she do? Her faith didn't falter, so therefore she fell at her master's feet. Notice here, if you will, in Genesis chapter 22, and you guys know the scriptures here, but we're going to work our way down. We'll get in verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, there's a doctrine for us to learn, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Alright, now that's the first time, actually let's back up. The first time the word lovest shows up is right in verse 2. Right? Moriah, this land of Moriah, is a place very particular, okay? And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one, this particular place, one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood with the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now, Mount Moriah is Jerusalem, all right? Then on the third day, that's not a coincidence either, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. The very first time that the word worship shows up in the Bible is Genesis chapter 22 and in verse 5. And it is directly associated not with singing, not with dancing, not with backflips, not with anything, but a sacrifice. Okay? Now, just to let you know, you notice it says, and come again unto you. He didn't say, I would come again unto you. We are going to go worship, and then we're going to come again to you. Abraham was fully convinced in his heart and his mind that if he sacrifices Isaac, God was going to raise him up from the dead. He was convinced of that. The Lord, and obviously we know the doctrinal teaching of this, that it's a foreshadow of what was going to happen with Jesus Christ on the cross, okay? We know that. We know that Abraham's a picture of God the Father, Isaac's a picture of God the Son. So we understand that, you know. Isaac's wife becomes a picture of the bride of Christ, the church. Eliezer, the eldest servant in the home, is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Remember, that's who went and got Isaac, his wife, if you will. So, they're there. But I'm saying this to you today, guys. What we're looking at, when she fell at the master's feet, she wasn't singing and dancing and speaking in tongues and doing that. She was begging and pleading. She was worshiping the Lord, and it came with a sacrifice. You know what this woman sacrificed that day? She sacrificed her pride. You're just a dog. I'm not here for you, the Lord says in her. I'm here for the chosen people. I'm not here for you. She sacrificed her pride. She sacrificed her person, guys. She sacrificed who she was. She sacrificed her position. I don't know where she may have been. But what would you not do for your children? I mean, would we have pride enough? Would we have our personhood? Would we have our position enough in our life to refuse to get our hands and knees down in the muck, down in the dirt, down in the mud, so that our children will be delivered of the devil? She sacrificed her particulars, her possessions. She would have given anything. She sacrificed her personal feelings. I mean, guys, what are we willing to endure through our faith by falling at the master's feet? What are we willing to endure today that a soul may be saved? Are we willing to be rejected, mocked out, made fun of, picked on, called names? Well, I hope so. I hope so. This world's looking at our reaction. They're looking at your reaction and how you react to them. And it's not easy. I don't believe at all that what she did this day was easy. I don't believe that. And having to endure the things that you may have to endure, that I may have to endure in this life today, they're not going to be easy. You're going to have to put your personal feelings aside. You have to put your pride aside. You have to put who you are aside for the better benefit of the soul in this world today. So, beloved, her unfaltering faith caused her to fall at her master's feet. And that allows the crumbs, lastly we find in her life, allows the crumbs to become fruitful. Become fruitful. Look at verse 28 with me. You've already read it. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Guys, there is no distance too far for the Master, for the Father's hand. The Lord's able to hear. Faith has no limits. Grace has no distance. Christ's saving power obviously transcends even to the greatest division and to the darkest places. But what we have to ask ourselves, and what we want to learn from the actions and the attributes and the character, if you will, of this dear mother, are we willing to be committed to Christ despite the outcome? So I ask you this. This goes toward missionaries, I guess, church planners. Are you guys willing to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and that which He has called you to do, no matter what the outcome is? Right? You know what we wasn't commanded to do? We wasn't commanded to win souls. And some soul winning, I know there's a lot of churches out there that teach soul winning 101. And they base it upon sales tactics. And I think it's wrong. What I taught in our church in the States and what I've taught in this church here is soul witnessing. Because that's what our job is. I know the Bible says he that wins souls is wise. And there's a whole doctrine on that we can go over about what is wisdom in the same scripture that it speaks on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is clear, guys. He that bringeth the increase is God. God brings the increase. If I can talk you into something, somebody else can talk you out of it. It's not my responsibility to win your soul. My responsibility is to give you the tool above which you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Are you committed to the cause of Christ enough that if you will labor and labor and labor and dig your heels in and not one soul is saved in 12 months, 24 months, 36, 48, we can keep going. Are you committed to the cause enough for the Lord Jesus Christ that despite the outcome on the other side, you're still going to be faithful to Him? Her faith didn't falter, even though she was called a dog, even though she was told that I'm not here for you, and even though she was told to go away, and even though she was ignored. I've heard it in times past. I've even heard people talk about it this past week that I said hello to so-and-so, and they just walked right past me. And one bloke was telling me the other day, kind of making fun of someone, and it was kind of funny, but made it clear, that person never says hello to anyone. They just walk right by, and their eyes are forward. Matter of fact, there was one lady that actually looked at him like this and didn't even say hello back, and he kind of went on and on a little tangent about it. I kind of chuckled, I understand, guys. If somebody say hello, you ought to say hello back. It's just a kind thing to do. But are you willing today to be committed so much to where you don't, even though you don't get the outcome that you want, you still committed to the cause of Christ? She was. She didn't get what she wanted several times over. She still worshiped the Master. Are you willing to remain faithful in times when Christ and His disciples are not? Not Jesus Christ, but when Christ's disciples are not. Are you willing to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ even when those around you are not faithful? Put a video out last week or at the end of the week. I was a little couple days behind getting it out, but I told you Sunday, I think it was, about stop kicking the cat. We live in a world today that I hear every excuse under the sun why people don't go to church. And you know what? They're right. Well, that church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. Yep. Where else do you expect hypocrites to be? Hypocrites play actor. They're acting like they are something when they're not. Okay? Well, they're going to be in the church. But just because there's hypocrites in the church around the world is not going to stop me from serving my Lord in the church that God has given us. Mm-hmm. If we had a bunch of hypocrites in this church here, it's not going to stop me from doing exactly what I do today. And I continue on. I may preach a little hard. I may preach at them. I may have counseling sessions and say, look, you got to straighten up. And that's fine. That's my duty as a pastor, but it's not going to stop me from serving the Lord. It doesn't change who an infallible God is because of a fallible man. Amen? So, the disciples of the Lord here, We can say they wasn't faithful. We can say they were pretty rude. We can say they wasn't extending the love of Christ unto this young lady, unto this dear mother. Didn't stop her. Didn't stop her going to the Master's feet, falling down. So are you willing to be committed to Christ despite the outcome? Are you willing to remain faithful in times even when Christ's disciples are not? And are you willing to continue in your request unto the Lord even if the answer is not immediate? Undoubtedly, guys, there's probably a prayer request that you've been praying for probably 2 decades now. I know for myself, I know there's prayer requests that I've been praying for years on end. I've even forgotten how long I've been praying. I'm just asking the Lord to see fit. So the characteristic that we find here of this lady is that Christ, you know, almost like Christ leaves this woman with not only her prayers unanswered, that Christ rejects her, He ignores her, the disciples mock her. But at the end of the story, at the end of the day, not only does He answer her prayers, but He commends her, saying, "Great is thy faith." He didn't say, "Great is thy labor." He didn't say, "Great is thy education." He didn't say, "Great is thy intelligence." "Great is thy ability to quote Scripture." "Great is thy three-point outline, alliterated sermon." He didn't say that to her. He says, "Great is thy faith." And at the end of the day, guys, this lady was full of faith. She knew where the answer to her prayers would come, and she faltered not even in the midst of apparent failure. The two little girls were overheard one time. One said, "I have 5 pennies. The other said, "I have 10. "No," told the little girl, "you have 5 pennies, the same as I." "But," the second child replied, "my father said that when he came home tonight, he'd give me 5 pennies, so I'm counting myself as having 10 cents. And I wonder that in our own life today, when we throw those prayers up, and we've seen 1 prayer, 2 prayers, 3 prayers, 5 prayers answered, but yet we know God's going to answer those prayers according to His will, do we go ahead and bank on them and say, "Hey, they're already answered"? This lady, I believe in all my heart, I believe she wasn't going to give up. And I believe that her not giving up wasn't because she felt as if she could bend the will or bend the ear of God. I believe that she knew that her faith could not falter, so therefore she worshipped the Lord no matter what, but trusting that Christ would eventually save that daughter. So we know that the faith of this lady was what it needed to be. We know that she came unto them like a little child. And I think I wonder sometimes that if we would just come to the Lord like a little child, put our faith and trust in Him, like much like you probably did when you were a little kid and the storms rolled in. I remember, we grew up, all of us, from the States, grew up in the South, and some of those storms roll in, it would shake the entire foundation of the home. And you'd go in there to your mom and dad's room or whatever, and you'd tuck in, or if you're Denise, you'd go down to the basement no matter how old you were, and get out of the way of the storm and stuff. But that's what you do. Christ said, "Suffer the little children come unto me and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." So guys, what faith does in our life and what we see it do for this lady is that faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and it receives the impossible. That's what we can learn from this Canaanite woman, this woman of Tyre, this Syrophoenician woman, if you will, in our life. And I believe we can apply it as well. Our faith didn't falter, guys. She was fortified by it, even though in the midst of apparent failure, she saw the fruit thereof. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and time to be together this morning. I pray that you continue to watch over us throughout the rest of this day. Lord, we love you for the example that you've given us in this Syrophoenician woman. I pray that we would continue to apply this type of faith in our own life, that you would give us the guidance and direction and mercy that we need, even though in the midst of conflict and the appearance of those, Father, who may reject us. Lord, help our faith be exactly what it needs to be, trusting that you will answer those prayers according to your will, according to your time, according to your grace. We love you. Ask you to bless the rest of this afternoon. Bring us back in the next appointed time, Father. We give you honor, glory, praise in Jesus' name. Amen.